Michael Paul Gallagher, you have been back in Ireland for a while and you have been talking in various places. And one of the things you're looking at is the role of the imagination and Pope Francis, who seems to instinctively know about the power of images and the using of imagination.
Yes, I think everybody knows that he's had an extraordinary impact on the whole world in the last 10 or whatever it is months. I would say that that impact is mainly on the level of images. Images that he uses, like talking about the church as a field hospital where you're wounded and you shouldn't be asked, have you high cholesterol? That's not the question. You have to look after the wounds. To use an image like that speaks to people. It's terrific. So he uses images and they get to people. But he has also created, in a much bigger sense, a whole new image of what faith could be, what faith can be. He changes the tone of things. And I would argue that he has the surprise of Pope Francis is on the level of imagination. And of course, one immediately has to say, we have to say, we use the word imagination with a slightly negative topspin. You know, you're only imagining it or whatever. But it has a much deeper and bigger and positive meaning because it's the way in which we envisage new possibilities for ourselves. We stand on thresholds of newness.
So he seems to have that. And you also quoted John Henry Newman, who has a take on imagination that does seem to also help us understand how Francis reaches people in such a wide way.
Yes, there's a famous quotation that Newman, something he said, in fact, arguing with the then Prime Minister, Robert Peel, when Newman was an Anglican, and he said to Peel, the heart is reached not through the intellect, but through the imagination. That's how you get to people. That's what really changes people. And he repeated that sentence many years later as a Catholic. So I think it's a marvellous summary of how people are changed deeply, not just through ideas, but through how they sense their lives, their sensibility and all that. And so it's in that general area that you can listen to some of the humorous and even ironic images that Pope Francis uses. I mean, he can be quite severe, but he gets away with it because he says it with such authenticity. I mean, you've probably heard that he talks about the new Pelagians and the new Gnostics. These are ancient heresies, but he's bringing them up today. The new Pelagians, he says, are Christians with long faces who look down on the ground all the time, are in perpetual mourning, as if they had a wet blanket thrown over their life. Now, we're not used to Pope saying that kind of thing, or at least not saying that kind of thing in that kind of language. So these are the pessimists. As he says, they keep their faith in a museum. That's a marvellous expression. And it gets to people. And then the other crowds that he says, don't get deceived by almost the opposite tendency of what he calls the new Gnostics. And he says, they're happy with a religion of nice words and they use God as a misty spray on everything.
Hear that one.
So again, this would be the vague sort of thing, a bit new agey and whatnot. And he manages to capture this kind of thing and talk to people in ordinary ways, apart from all the very imaginative gestures, what he does, meeting the sick or the children or whatever.
And you quote an atheist journalist who herself says, I'm not a believer, but she does see that this isn't the stunt of a PR person.
Yes, this was I think it was the New York Times or perhaps Washington Post, and it's about a month or two ago, and she said, this is not PR, this is not public relations. No public relations firm could think this up. She says, I look at this man and I just see authenticity. And even though I remain an unbeliever, it gets to me.
It is music to your ears in a certain way, because you have been writing for a long time, and pre-Pope Francis and many popes, about the importance of our symbols and our imagination and the role of faith.
Yes, I follow, as perhaps the fact that I taught literature for longer than I'd ever taught theology has something to do with it, that my whole initial formation was in the world of creative imagination, literary imagination, and the power of poetry or drama to capture who we really are. But faith really, as a famous American Jesuit, William Lynch, he would say, faith is imagining reality with God. It's on that level that faith happens. Our whole vision of everything gets changed, and it involves our feelings, our affectivity, our interiority. Of course it involves our minds, but the minds, the ideas are not the first thing.
And I was taken by, when you were talking, you mentioned the imagination, that there is a battleground there, and particularly for, well, for all of us, and for our young people who are growing up, and people have so many concerns nowadays, they are subject to huge array and battery of images at every level. I was taken by your analysis of one or two of those images. You might explain that.
Yeah, I was showing some advertisements, including an advertisement with Mr. and Mrs. Beckham, in which they look very bored in their Armani underwear. But you have to look bored if you're selling all this very expensive stuff. You have to look almost apathetic and superior. And we're surrounded by this kind of images. Now, they're not the worst. There are much more dangerous images around. There's pornography. There's God knows what. So there is a battleground of images. There's a great Italian theologian, Sequeri, who says, we should laugh at Babel once a week. Babel is something of these slightly sick or dehumanizing or trivializing images that we are surrounded by. Let's just see through them. It's not a question of moaning or lamenting or complaining, just seeing through them.
And being able to critique it in a way, because very often we are at the receiving end of all of those various multimedia images that we get. And it's not just that they reflect, but they actually inform how we see our world and what we take for granted as a value system.
That's true. In fact, I was trying to suggest to this group of teachers today, Lecalia, the group of schools that call themselves Lecalia, that the young people are experts in images. You don't have to tell them. You have to ask the right questions. And they if they're asked about a set of advertisements, they're selling this product, but they're selling a whole lifestyle. And what are the values in this lifestyle? They, with the right questions, will see through the nonsense. And perhaps they will be able to walk more serenely towards the true image that we find in Christ.
And finally, for each one of us, what is the challenge for us in tapping into the imagination as you would see it?
Well, simply not to neglect our capacity for wonder. Not to neglect our capacity to be surprised. Not to rush around life. Perhaps the simplest bit of advice is slow down and savor. And see. And you may find a new self. And you may see through some of the nonsense.